Amen. These young people are a blessing. Amen. We're thankful for them. I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 2. One verse, Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. And when you've found your place in your Bible, will you stand with me, please? This morning, our young people have helped to tell the story of Jesus. Of course, we know it's not just a story in the sense that the world uses the phrase today. It's a real historical, biblical event. Amen. But we'll use the word story as long as we understand that we're not talking about a fairy tale today. We're talking about an event that changed the course of eternity, world history. And as we as we celebrate our Savior's birth today, our young people have helped to tell that story, but Mary and Joseph, they lived it. They lived that event. They lived out something that angels had longed to look in for. They lived out something the prophets had written about centuries before but didn't fully understand. They got to live it out, and wow, that was a lot to process. I think that if we spend our whole lives trying to understand who Christ is and how it is that he came and all that he accomplished and all that he's yet to accomplish, we could never fully comprehend it. And just think about that young girl, Mary. Very young, especially by our standards today, very young to be getting married, very young to have all of these things happen in her life. And we read here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And today, as we've been thinking about keeping Christ in Christmas, and we want to keep him in all of our understanding, and we want to keep him in all of our praise, and we want to keep him in our speech, well, we want to keep Christ in all of our thoughts. Amen. We want to keep the truths that God's revealed to us from his word. We want to keep them and ponder them in our hearts every day. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to come and to worship you today. I'm so thankful for the freedom and the blessings that we have. Lord, I thank you for these young people and pray that you would bless them, that Jesus Christ would be so much more than a story to them, that Christ would be everything. He is our all in all, the creator of the universe, the one who sustains all things by the word of his power, our Savior, the only one who gives hope to mankind. And I pray that he would be all of that to all of us. And Father, if anyone hearing this message is not saved, that they'll be saved even today, and that all of us will keep Christ in all our thoughts. Lord, please bless your word now and help me, for I'm nothing without you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Just want to take a few moments this morning and consider this verse. Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Would you, first of all, consider with me the young lady? Consider her character. Mary, the mother of Jesus, one who was highly favored of God. She was pure. She was faithful. She was obedient to the word of God. When the angel came to her, Gabriel said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." We read the Bible says she's found favor with God. She was one who was pure. She had not known a man. And the Bible says that when she heard all of the message that God had for her, she simply said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." When she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist leaped in her womb for joy, and she said, "Blessed is she that believed." Listen, Mary had great character. Mary had faith in God, and because of her faith in God, she had the righteousness of God in her. Listen, just try to wrap your mind around this. Mary had the righteousness of Christ in her that she hadn't even gave birth to yet. Amen. Because she believed. Amen. Because she believed, it was accounted unto her for righteousness, the same as Abraham, the same as everyone who's ever believed, the same as you and I today as believers, the same as everyone who ever will believe. When we believe, it's accounted unto us for righteousness. Her character was a great character. I think we can see a great deal of her character if we'll look with me to Luke chapter 1 and begin at verse 45. Luke chapter 1 and verse 45. When the angel came and told her she was going to have a son, that he was going to be the Savior, she said, "How can that be? I don't know a man." He said, "God's going to do this." She said, "Be it unto me according to your word," because the angel's word was God's word. And then she went to see her cousin Elizabeth to see all that was going on. And while she was there, the Spirit just overcame her and she worships God. She says in verse 45, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Elizabeth says, "You are blessed because you believe." And then look at verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Listen, you can see the character of Mary in her song of praise to God. You can see how she exalted God, how she lifted him up. She talked about his mercy because she too was in need of mercy. Mary was a faithful young woman. She was a pure young woman. She was an obedient young woman. But listen, she was not a sinless young woman. She needed a Savior just like everyone else. She needed a Savior just like everyone else. Listen, none of us are perfect. None of us are without sin. We all stand in need of a Savior today. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that verse, and I meet a lot of people in our community who actually know that truth. You know, we've all sinned, but don't let the fact that we've all sinned take away the reality that your sin has to be dealt with one day. Amen. That God is going to be the judge of the quick and the dead, that one day we'll all stand before the Lord and we'll all give an account to him. And the only answer that is going to allow us entrance into heaven when we are judged by God is that in this life, we put our faith in Christ alone. That in this life, we repented of our sin and we trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That now is the day of salvation, is the reality we all need to hear today. Listen, friend, you don't know when this life's going to be over, and none of us know when our time here is done, but God has numbered our days, and it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So you must repent, and you must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ if you'll see heaven one day. She was a blessed young woman. The grace of God was poured out on her, but she needed that grace. The mercy of God was evident in her life, but she needed that mercy, and we all need it today. I want you to see her character, not only that, but notice her carefulness. Luke 2:19 says, "But Mary kept all these things." I would imagine that if I went to your house, and any of you guys have a shop building or a storage area in your home? Fellas, you got something like that? And how many of you ladies would say that your husband keeps all these things? Okay. Yeah, we, you know, you might need it someday. Thank you. I was hoping I'd get an amen there. Mary kept all these things. What does it mean that she kept them? It means that she preserved them. It means that she held on to them, to remember them, to contemplate them, to look on them. We have things sometimes around our home that we call keepsakes. What is a keepsake? Well, it's something that you keep in order to remember something. And maybe it's an ornament. Some of you have ornaments through the years. Anybody have any ornaments that you've kept through the years? Yeah. And every year you get those out, and every year you hang them on the tree. We do that every year. The kids have an ornament from every year, and they hang them, and they say, "I remember when we got this." And I say, "I don't remember anything." I there's so much that I don't remember, but we have that to remember. I have a little mouse sitting on a Christmas present. I can't remember the date on it, but I'm pretty sure I painted that in kindergarten. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. That little mouse on the Christmas present and sitting on the table by my chair in the living room right now, it comes out every year at Christmas time, and I remember. Listen, what do we have? We have keepsakes. We have things that we keep so that we can remember. We keep them for a purpose of remembering. She kept all these things. She preserved all these things. It reminds me in the Old Testament, you remember how God provided manna for Israel all the time they were in the wilderness? All the way up until they finally crossed over Jordan into the promised land, and then the manna stopped. And God provided them meat. He provided food for them in the promised land. But before that time, they took a bowl. They took a golden pot. They put some manna inside. They put that pot inside the Ark of the Covenant so that they would remember what God had done for them. So they would remember how God had provided them bread from heaven. I get that picture in my mind, friends. Mary took all of this stuff, and it was like the manna, the bread from heaven that was put in the pot so they could have a memorial so that they would remember how God had sent bread from heaven. Well, that's what she was doing. She kept all these things. She held on to these things in her heart. She held on to these things in her mind so that she could remember and contemplate and think about in her mind what God had done. I just want you to get that, friends. We let a lot of things fall to the ground. We need to be like Samuel. When God gave Samuel a word, he didn't let one word fall to the ground. Amen. He held on to all of it. You see, Samuel was a man of God who understood the value and the importance of the word of God. He understood the importance of the message of God. He understood the importance of the purposes of God. And you and I, friends, we have our Bibles and we hear preaching and we listen to Bible songs, biblically based songs, and we listen and we hear these things and we let too many things fall to the ground. And Mary didn't do that. She kept it all. She kept all these things. What was it that she kept? What was it she was so careful about? I think it started from her message from Gabriel, for sure. Gabriel came down and said she's going to have a baby, and he was going to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And she said, how can that be? I don't know a man. And he said, the angel's going to come, and the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and that's going to be born of you, is going to be the Son of God. She contemplated that. She held on to the fact that he said, your cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, who it was not possible for her to have a child, she's about to have a baby. She contemplated how she went and visited with her and all that happened there and how the Holy Spirit of God moved in Elizabeth and in her. How the things that God had said through the angel, they were coming to pass just like he said. She thought about those 9 months. She thought about that moment. Listen, we get a couple of snapshots, right? And I think we need to be careful filling in the blanks, but these are real people and real events. You remember how when she came back from Elizabeth, I just imagine that it's about the time she came back from Elizabeth that Joseph figures out that Mary's pregnant. That's a little suspect, isn't it? Gone for a while, comes back, she's pregnant. He's going to put her away. Don't you think she figured that was going to happen? And then Joseph comes, and instead of saying, I'm putting you away, he says, God has given me a vision. The angel of the Lord told me not to put you away. He told me what's happening. Can you imagine the joy that she had? Amen. Don't you think she was imagining that? Hey, this is her first child. Just set aside for a second that she's having the Son of God, but this is her first kid. All of you moms here know that's a big deal. Listen, they're all a big deal, but that first one, it's a new experience, and it's a terrifying experience, and it's an exciting experience. And I mean, there's all the joy and all the pain and all the worry and all the things. She went through all of that. So she's thinking about Gabriel coming. She's thinking about Joseph not putting her away. She's thinking about just the fact that this is the child of the Son of God that's in her. She's thinking about bringing him into the world. I mean, all of you here who have children can remember the moment your kids were born. Man, what a moment. What an overwhelming moment. What a terrifying moment. I remember when Abigail was born and holding her and being scared I was going to break her. Anybody else remember that? Like, their heads fall off. I mean, you got to hold, man, I'm just telling you. Like, they're fragile. If you don't hold their heads on, they fall right off, and you don't know what to do with them. I just remember Melissa and I there, and I'm looking at this baby, and I said, this is like we got a whole person's life to mess up, like their whole life. Like, that's a big deal with anybody, but this is God's son. Amen. I just imagine what that was like for them. I can assure you that when Gabriel came, the last thing Mary thought was, I can't wait till Jesus is born and we can fix up the food trough for him. Laid in a manger, our Savior of lowly birth. She's thinking, I mean, it was just probably hours before that she wrapped him up and laid him in the manger, and then the shepherds came. Another unexpected event. They come in, they're talking about the angel of the Lord giving them a message. Not only that, he told them exactly where they were. Not only that, they're talking about the multitudes of angels singing praises about that baby's birth. They're coming in telling all that they had just experienced. And Hebrews tells us that when Jesus came into the world, God said, let all the angels of heaven worship him. And she's thinking about all of these things, and she took all of it, and she didn't let any of it go. She brought it all right here. Amen. She kept it. And when you consider Christ today, and you consider Christ this week, you consider Christ this Christmas and into the new year, and through the winter and through the spring and through every day of your life, you keep thinking about Jesus. The Bible tells us in Psalm 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. We want to keep God in all our thoughts. Amen. Mary kept all these things. You see her character, you see her carefulness, but notice her considering. He says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Pondered them in her heart. The word ponder is a compound word, and it literally means to cast together. The idea for us is to mentally consider something, but she pondered it. We don't use that word a lot, but get this. It literally means to cast together, to throw and to be together. She was putting it all together. Mary was pondering these things in her heart. She was keeping all these things, and she was putting it all together. And friends, you and I need to do that today. We need to start putting it all together. We need to, when we see events happening in the world around us, and we see what's happening in our government, and we see what's happening in our culture, and we see what's happening in other countries, we need to start looking at those things, not in light of, well, how's that going to affect my job, or how's that going to affect my paycheck, or how's that going to affect my taxes, or how's that going to affect this or that. You need to start putting it together biblically. We need to start looking at the things going on in the world today and look at it through the lens of Scripture to understand that things are coming to pass exactly like God said they would. Amen. That's what Mary was doing. Gabriel showed up, told her all these things were happening. Now she's got the baby laying there. Now the shepherds come in with their account of the angel's testimony, and she's keeping it and pondering it. She's putting it all together. Amen. And what's she doing? Everything's coming to pass exactly like God said it would. We need to consider the things that are happening in the world today. We need to understand that the way we think has an impact on the way we live. Proverbs 23:7 says it like that. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We want to make sure that our thoughts are right, that we're contemplating the right things, that we're pondering the right things, that we have our mind on Christ all the time. We want him in all our thoughts, because the way we think will affect the way that we live. Amen. So the way you think is the way you do. All of the wickedness that comes out of us, it starts in our heart, in our mind. I want you to notice this correlation where in our text, Luke 2:19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We don't talk like that today. We don't think in our heart, we think in our head, right? We think with our heads and we feel with our heart, but the Bible keeps those things together. Jesus often perceived the thoughts of men's hearts. You see, we think in our intellectualism, we think in our evolutionary status that we've moved beyond that, but the reality is you can't separate the link between your heart and your mind. Amen. They go together. Amen. And as you think, it affects your heart, and as your heart is, so you say, and so you do. And so we want to keep Christ in all of our thoughts. Amen. We want to keep Christ in all of our thoughts. Look at chapter 2. Verses 34 and 35, if you would, please. Luke 2, 34 and 35. You remember that Mary and Joseph would be keeping the law, that they would take Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated there. And Simeon was there, who God had said that he would get to see Messiah. And when he has Jesus and blesses him, he says to them in verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon's prophecy was, you and I might say, a little bit cryptic. But when Jesus came, he was going to change Israel. There would be many who would be brought up, but there would be many who would fall down. What does he mean? There would be many who would believe that God would raise them up. They would humble themselves and God would raise them up. There would be many who would be lifted up against him and they would be brought low. Then he says to Mary, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also. And there's a lot of debate amongst theologians and trying to decide exactly what that means. But I'm going to tell you very simply this. Mary was there when Jesus was crucified. She was there when she saw her son die on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world, but for her own sins. She saw that babe that she'd wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. She saw that babe that she had raised up from a baby. She had seen him grow into a man. She had heard him preach the amazing things of God. She had seen him heal the sick and cause the dead to come to life again. She had seen Jesus grow up to be this incredible man of God because he was God. Amen. And then she saw him die on the cross. And I can't imagine another sword that would pierce through her soul in a greater way than seeing Jesus die on the cross. And what does the death of Jesus do? Look at it, verse 35. What does the birth of our Savior, his sinless life, his sacrificial death, what does it do for all mankind? The thoughts of our hearts are revealed. Amen. In seeing Jesus crucified. What does it do to your heart today? What does it do to your heart today that that sweet baby Jesus suffered and died for your sins? Because the real condition of your heart is revealed in his sacrifice. Do you have godly sorrow today that Christ died for your sins? Because godly sorrow will bring you to repentance and salvation and obedience. Many people hear the story of Jesus and they mock. They would laugh at you today for celebrating the Savior's birth. The thoughts of their hearts are revealed. But what will you do as you think about Jesus and who he is and what he came to do? Will you keep Jesus in all your thoughts? Will you keep these things and ponder them in your heart? As you think in your heart, that's who you are. This morning, I want to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I beg you today to repent of your sin and your unbelief, to trust in Christ alone as your Savior. If you are saved, I pray that you won't let the busyness of this week and all of the other things that we have to do, don't let them take your attention away from Christ, but keep Him in all of your thoughts. Keep Him in all your thoughts. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart today, if there's a decision you need to make, you come while we sing.